Hi, this is Jason, lead pastor at Casper Alliance Church. Thanks for stopping by our weekly teaching podcast. This is week 11 of our summer teaching series on the Psalm of Ascent. This week, one of our key leaders, Chris, is teaching. He's talking about hope from Psalm 130. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to know more about Casper Alliance Church, you can check us out at casperchurch.com. You can go to your Google Play Store or App Store and search for Casper Alliance Church. Look for the double C's and download it, and that's our app. You can connect with us there. Also, you can go to facebook.com/Casper Alliance Church or instagram.com/Casper Church. Hey, have a great week. Thanks.
That last song really hit me, and it's really not good to feel like you're going to cry before you go up to speak.
It's a laugh.
Thank you. Jason gave me this sermon a couple months ago, and so I knew I'd be talking about hope today. We're doing the Psalms, the Psalm of Ascent. We're to Psalm 130. The theme today is about hope. And the good thing about knowing your sermon so far ahead of time is you got lots of time to work on what you want to say. And the hard thing is God has lots of time to work on what he wants to do with you with it. And it kind of broke for me over there right now. 2 months. Because I agree that Jesus is everything. But I don't always believe it. You ever feel like that? You sing the words of these songs and you agree with them. You hear, you know them, but your life doesn't live like you believe it. And then we wonder, God, where are you? Why aren't you taking care of me? I agree that you're supposed to take care of me, but it hit me that I just don't always believe it. I put on our church app this morning a question. I hope some of you saw it. What is it you hope in that you think is going to make the most impact in your life? We all hope in something. We all have multiple hopes going on in our lives. There's something we're hoping for, some situation we want to change that's going to make life better or at least keep it the same. And I look around here today and I see people from all walks of life, different stages. Some of you are entering the workforce. You're hoping in a new career. Some of you are looking at retirement and you have hopes of what that's going to look like. If you're like me, who just turned 40, you're just hoping your back doesn't hurt in the morning when you wake up. Some of you understand that. But we all live by hope. Hope is the fuel that drives us day by day. You hope for something tomorrow. Now, I want you to take a second, because I've got a journey I've walked this past month, and I want to take you on this journey with me if you're willing, and I think God has something really cool for you on the end. If you're willing to put in a little bit of work with me this morning. So think about that hope. Get one, get two. What is it you hope in? What is it you're hoping for? What if by the end of this sermon, you were convinced that that hope was not going to happen? Like there was no way or chance that that was going to be fulfilled for you. You had to give it up completely. How does that make you feel right now? I'm going to read the opening passage of this psalm, and I want to see if you can connect with this psalmist. This is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. You hear the heart of a person who's hoping in something, and his hope right now is that God will just hear him. And that's how we feel a lot, that our hopes aren't happening, and so God must not be hearing us. Let me give you a new definition, though, for hope today. This is a working definition, but I think it works for today. Hope is desires in context. Hope is desire in context. Mark, if you put those words on the screen. Oh, cool. I can like point. All right. You did get it to work. We all have hardwired in us desires. All of us can connect those things on the board. All of us want to feel those things in our life. And what happens is we take those desires and we look at the context of our life, or nowadays you put it in Google, how do I get identity? And it pops out four or five websites that say, here are some options for you. But you look around and you say to yourself, this is the best path for me to find security. And so you take that path, and that becomes your hope. You hope that this will happen so that you can fulfill one of these deeper desires. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's pretty darn close. But I bet you if you take the hope I asked you to think about this morning, and you dig down deep, and you ask why do I hope in that? You can connect it to a deeper desire you're hoping fulfilled. You have hardwired in you these desires, and maybe more, because God put them there. And we work our lives coming up with hopes that will help us fulfill these desires. And what happens is we do it, we find a hope, and we go, and if we can fulfill it, if we can accomplish it, what we find is the satisfaction in that only lasts for a short amount of time. And we find we're lacking in something else, and so we got to go find a new hope to put our faith in, and a new hope to put our faith in. And we run our life on hope after hope like a hamster on a wheel. And it's very tiring. In fact, when I looked around the service today, I see a bunch of people during worship who agree with the words they're singing. But quite frankly, life is making them tired. Because when we're chasing hope after hope after hope, we get very tired. The world says you can fulfill this desire by fulfilling this hope. And this is how you do it. The problem with getting these desires fulfilled in the world's way is it requires something of you. Do you know what it requires? It requires you to sacrifice another desire. It requires you to give a part of yourself that once you find that hope and you're like, yeah, I got there. Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm lacking this. This isn't fulfilled. So now I got a hope in this. I've actually paired these up here on the most likely pairs that work against each other. But it's not always exactly like that. But if you want to find identity, you tend to have to give up belonging. If you want to feel like you belong, you tend to have to give up your identity. You want freedom? Give up your security. You want security? Give up your freedom. Does this sound familiar? This is how the world operates. It promises you that it'll fulfill your hope and give you your desires, but what it doesn't tell you is what it's going to cost you in return. But there is another way. And it begins and ends with Jesus. Let me tell you a story real quick. When I was in grade school, so no older than sixth grade, my brother is 3 years younger than me, so I vaguely remember, I don't know if my family remembers this or not, but I vaguely remember my brother running away from home. I don't remember the details, but something happened where mom and dad weren't giving him something he wanted, and he figured he'd be better off out there on his own than living at home. So he's, you know, what, roughly third grade-ish. So where we lived was a round block. So there's one street that came in, went around, and then the same street that went out. We knew practically everyone in the neighborhood. There was a softball game every summer, a block party softball game. My fourth grade teacher lived down the street. So I'm telling you this because it is a very secure, safe place. And my parents let him go out the door and let him take off, but they knew where he was, and he was making his way around the block. And somewhere around that block, he decided that he was better off back at home than on his own, because he didn't realize when he walked out the door how much he depended on my parents, how much they provided him. Suddenly, whatever he hoped in didn't become as important as his needs, which were, I'll have to fly around here. His needs were, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. And my parents fed us good food, nice clothes, and a comfortable shelter. I say this because there's a foundation that needs to be placed before we understand how God fulfills our desires. You see, God wants to fulfill our desires. It is a promise of Scripture that He wants to give us the desires of our heart. He didn't hardwire all this stuff in us to leave us on our own. He actually wants to fulfill all this stuff. I sometimes think that people think Christianity is like this thing you sign up for of service and sacrifices and do's and don'ts. And once you sign up to it, you kind of walk this sad little path to this kind of funeral dirge, you know. It's like, this is the Christian life. I got to just not do all this stuff. And I'm telling you that in Christ, it's more like a happy dance. Because he wants to give us joy. That's his goal. But he knows that true joy only comes through fulfilling these desires in him, which means our relationship with him has to be good. And our sin keeps our relationship with him from being good. So, Jesus enters the scene. Let me read the next passage here in Psalm 130, starting in verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. If our sins weren't forgiven, you would have no hope and no opportunity for your desires to be fulfilled. So it is vital to this that your hopes, your dreams, your future, that Christ came and did his work. But he didn't just provide the way for us to have our hopes. He actually showed us the way too. Because you see, these things were hardwired in Jesus also. He was fully man. He sought all of this. He sought identity, belonging, meaning, significance, freedom, purpose, pleasure. He sought all of these things. It's just he didn't seek them on the world's playing field. In fact, we didn't get this slide to work, but I have a verse, a passage for each one of these words that shows where Jesus intentionally denied the world from providing all of these to him. He walked a life of sacrifice and service, and he said no. Time and time again, the world, people, Satan said, we offer this to you, and he said no, because that is the world's way of doing it. He took the path of the cross, which in Hebrews 12:2 says he took on the shame and the scorn. But before it says he took on the shame and the scorn, it says something else. It says, for the joy. We miss that part sometimes. We look at the life of Christ and we think, oh, what a sad, sorry, suffering life. That's the path I have to walk? But he did it for the joy. The joy. What is joy? Joy is God fulfilling all these completely and fully in our lives, experiencing him in the midst of our deepest desires. But the world says, you want purpose? Go out there and do it this way. You want pleasure? Go out there and do it this way. And you know this because I want you to think about a hope that you've had that you've actually received. What is a hope that you've had in your life in the past that you depended on? You knew if you just got this, it would change your life. And then you got there, and what happens? You realize how much more you're missing. And now you hope in something new, and you hope in something new, and you hope in something new. And again, hamster on the wheel. All the while, Jesus is standing here saying, listen, I'm on solid ground. This is peaceful where I'm at. Come over here with me. And we're over here doing this, saying, what are you talking about? I'm happy. Can't you see it? God wants to fulfill our desires. Before we were married, Hannah had taken a trip to Russia. She visited an orphanage there. And it just melted her. She knew she was going to be a missionary to Russia. At that point, she came back to Casper, but she left her heart in Russia. Around the same time, I was setting up plans to go to Montana. I was going to be a pastor. I had an internship set up, a church I was going to go to and learn. I had my heart in Montana. Hannah wanted an orphanage in Russia. I wanted a church in Montana. God gave us 6 kids in Casper. And we wouldn't change anything. Because our hopes were not for Russia and for Montana. Our hopes were for purpose. our desires, where we wanted a life that had meaning and purpose. And in the context of our lives, this is how we saw it fulfilled. God had other plans. And they're wonderful and they're great. And if you know my kids, I know they touched you in some way, shape, or form, because they touch me every day. And we find purpose and meaning and fulfillment in that. And we find it here in this church. He has given us a ministry here. But we don't know how to wait for God. We live in a society that gives us everything like this, and we don't know how to wait for God. Jesus had to wait. He waited 30 years before he started his public ministry, and he still had to die on the cross before he fully received God's promises for him. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years before he lived out his call. I don't know how long David was running from Saul. After David was anointed king, he was still running from the kingdom of Israel for a number of years because they were waiting for God to accomplish his work in his time. We don't know how to wait. We don't want to wait. We want the quick fix now. And the world says, here you go, I got the quick fix for you. Let me read the next passage. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. So the watchmen were those guys that stood at the gates or on the walls, and they waited all night, staying awake, watching. Is there an enemy coming? Who is this person coming to the gates? Are they safe? Should I let them in? All night long, they wait and they watch. And I don't know if you've tried staying awake all night without any other extra help, like caffeine or otherwise, but it gets long, and your eyes get tired. You know, when you drive late at night and it's just all dark, but you're straining your eyes, it makes you tired. These guys are tired by the time their watch is up, and all they want is for that morning to come so they can go and rest their eyes. If I don't get a good night's sleep on a Saturday night, all I want is for Jason to end his sermon so I can go rest my eyes. And you can see me fighting that some days. So this is the degree of which it says we need to wait for the Lord. You want your desires fulfilled? More than watchmen for the morning? More than watchmen for the morning? We don't know how to wait like that. And it's because although we agree Jesus is the way, we don't believe it. Because if we believed it, if we hungered and thirsted for him, as in a dry and weary land, then guess what? We would wait. Right? I would wait. And I still don't wait at times. God wants to fulfill the desires of our heart. It's a promise of the Bible. And I think sometimes we're like, God, you don't care about my desires. You're not making this hope happen, so clearly you don't care about what I think or believe. And I think he's over here saying, actually, I know your desires better than you do, and if you would wait for me and do things in my way, I would fulfill them even more. Because the world plays a zero-sum game. The world trades. You want this, you need that. If you want to gain, you got to lose something. If you want to gain, someone else has to lose something. But in Christ, we can get these desires fulfilled in such a way that they just constantly grow. You get such a sense of yourself and who you are, your identity, your belonging, your freedom, your security. In Christ, if you rest in him for those things, it just grows and grows and becomes a well of life, bubbling in until it's so much, it pours out, and you now become a person who gives life and isn't around taking it. If you are desperate for your hopes to be fulfilled, guess what? You're depending on someone or something to make the right decision. There is something outside of your control that needs to happen in order for you to get what you hope in, right? Think about that hope that you have. You don't have the power to get it fully. You got things you can do. But you're waiting on someone or something to make the right decision. Maybe it's a new relationship you want. Maybe it's an old relationship you want repaired. Maybe it's your back to be fixed. Whatever it is, you're dependent on the world to do something to fulfill this. And that makes us manipulative. It makes us controlling. It makes us go out there and take it. And when we take from somebody. This is the zero-sum game the world plays, and it teaches us to play. If you want this, you got to make it happen in this way. But if you know how to rest in God, if you know how to make Jesus your King, Jesus your Lord, if you know how to follow in His footsteps, which is sacrifice, which is service, which is hard, there is a promise that these things you truly want will grow. They're not traded off. They grow and they grow and they grow. Because Jesus wants you to experience joy, and joy is experienced when God fulfills these desires, in part. That's not all, but for the purposes of the sermon today, we experience joy when God comes in and gives us these things. And He doesn't take them away, because that would be against His purposes. He is here to give us fulfillment in these desires. These desires. So I want you to understand, right? What does that mean? That means God doesn't care so much about your hopes. Nobody wants to hear that. Because your hopes are your choices in the context of life to fulfill your desires. God cares about your desires. And He has a plan for that. Just rest in that thought for one second. The Creator of the universe has a plan to fulfill all of your deep desires. And how do we know that? Because He already did the work necessary. He died for it. You don't die for something that you don't believe in. And that's why we can trust in that promise. Because of the work Jesus has done. That's why, as hard as this is, when you hear what I'm saying, to give up the world's way of accomplishing your hopes, to give those up and to rest and wait on God, when I say that and you say, I agree with it, but I don't know if I want to live that way, the reason I'm saying you can't is because God is faithful to do what He promises. Here's the end. Here's how this psalmist ends, 130. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption, and He will redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. This was written before Christ. It was looking forward to what Jesus will do. Now we look backward and we say, He has redeemed us from all of our iniquities. Therefore, we know with Him is plentiful redemption because we're experiencing it. Therefore, He's proven His steadfast love. Therefore, guess what? We can hope in the Lord. There is no promise with a firmer foundation. We're tired. I'm tired of chasing hopes like a hamster on a wheel, and there is a better way. The opposite of a zero-sum game, a win-win. Everybody wins. Do you want to trade your desires one for another? Think about this, because we're slow to learn, and if what I'm saying is hard for you to grasp, like God's got something in your mind, and you're saying, are you asking me to give that up and not do this? Because I don't know if that'll work. I want you to think back to what you've traded for your other hopes. Have your ways fully satisfied what you want? I'm a human. I've lived 40 years. I can tell you they haven't. But God promises to. And why can we depend on that promise? Because of His work on the cross. Because of His steadfast love, because He's already redeemed us. Isn't this cool? The cross and redemption is not the end, it is just the beginning. But sometimes we make salvation the end and we're like, all right, good to go, I agree with it, I believe it, now I'm going to live my life. But there is more. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. There is joy in your life if you're willing to endure the cross that Jesus has for you. Take up my cross and follow me. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Those who give up the world's way of trying to satisfy your desires, give up your life for my sake, make me Lord of their life. You know what? You're going to find that life you're looking for in the kingdom. But we don't get it because we still see things through the world's filters. And the world looks at Christians and they say, what a sad, sorry life. What a bunch of do's and don'ts and can'ts and whatnot. And they don't understand what it means to experience joy in the kingdom. They have not tasted and seen how good God is. Have you? Can that be fuel for you going forward, saying, I know I can trust in God. I know I can depend on his faithfulness. I know I can wait for him. If you haven't tasted and seen, you're not going to unless you give him a chance. And you have, you need to remember those things. Constantly, God would tell his people that when you're raising your children, tell them the stories I've done. Tell them to remember me. Remind them of who I am, because they need that going forward so that they can trust in me. We got to do that for ourselves. We got to go back and remember God's faithfulness, and it starts at the cross and continues on into each of our individual lives. But remember what God has done for you. Remember his faithfulness. I'm willing to bet that some of you have experienced these desires in a God-fulfilling way, and it's good, and it's deep, and it's just happy, right? But we all still have those hopes in other areas. We all still have these things we're chasing after and trying to get. Hope is desire in context. You're taking your desires in the context of your life, and you're putting your faith in that. You're putting your trust in that path, in that way, and you're putting your hope in it. Trust in the Lord, and he will fulfill the desires of your heart. He will fulfill the desires of your heart. You don't have to wait on that person. I don't have to wait on the government to take care of me. I don't have to wait on the church to take care of me. I don't have to wait on my spouse or my children or my job. I don't have to wait on my boss. Guess what? I can have the desires of my heart fulfilled the minute I walk out of this door. I can have them fulfilled right now if I figure out what it means to put my trust in the Lord. That is encouraging, because we're taught that we have to wait on people. We have to depend on people. We have to depend on the world to satisfy our hopes and desires. And the Bible says that is not true. You just need to take that step to give me a chance to fulfill those. Waiting on the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. If you've followed me in this journey so far, if you've gone through some of the internal work I've been walking you through, if you've taken this hope that I asked you to think about, and you've been thinking about during the sermon, you're probably up to a point you're like, okay, Chris, I want to believe you, but what do I do with that now? I don't have an answer for you. What I have is a part two to this sermon. It's not going to be an answer, but it's going to be a furthering of this heart journey with God. What do we do at this point? This Friday, as it's already been said, we start our church family camp. The theme of the family camp is making Jesus greater and making me less. Very applicable to what I'm saying today, because as we make Jesus Lord of our life, we make the world less, ourselves less, our own hopes less. Guess what? He fulfills those desires. So Friday night, I have the privilege and pleasure of doing the opening sermon for our church camp, our family camp, and I'm going to do somewhat of a part two to this, a continuing on. What do we do now? So I would really encourage you guys to be there if this message has in any way pricked your heart, if the Spirit is speaking to you. I find these little weekends are an amazing time to set aside our normal dealings of life that just distract us and to really focus on God and what he wants to do. So if you're willing to do that, to set aside life, to see what God wants to do with you, is maybe he's working some things up, what I would ask you to do this week is prepare yourself. Gird up your loins, as the Bible says. Prepare your hearts. What are your hopes? What are you trusting in? God, what do you want to do with that? What do you have for me if I'm willing to wait for you and do it in your way? Prepare yourself. Prepare your mind. Prepare your heart. Be ready for God to answer. And that's a big claim that God's going to answer you, but no bigger than saying God's going to fulfill these desires. And why do I claim that? I don't claim that. The Bible claims that. So I can stand firm on that. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. So I would ask you to prepare yourself. Be ready. Friday night, I think the sermon's at 5:30. Is that right-ish? Later than that. If you're there at 5:30, you won't miss it. So even if you're not coming for food or going to spend the night, we definitely encourage you to come up and join us. I think it can be a really cool time of experience. Think about your hopes. Think about your desires. More importantly, think about Christ and what he has done and wants to do for you. Because this is why we come here. This is why we preach. This is why we read the Bible. This is why we gather, because we believe everything worth living for is found in Christ. And we believe those things are good and satisfying. This is, they're not there anymore, but those words are in some way a definition of a fulfilled life. If you had all those things fully welled up inside of you, if you felt like you fully received all those things, you would feel like you lived a good, satisfying life. And that is exactly what God wants to give us. And we're not waiting on him. He's already done his work. He's actually waiting on us. I feel like when it comes to our hopes, we're like waiting on God. God, if you would just do what needs to be done, if you would change this person's heart, if you would make this situation, if they would just see it the way I see it and understand what I'm thinking and feeling, they would agree with me and my hopes would be fulfilled. What if God's waiting on you? What if God has already provided all the necessary ingredients for the deepest desires of your heart to be satisfied? It's worth considering this week, don't you think? Join us for family camp. I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your steadfast love, your faithfulness. Thank you that you are so dependable. I pray that like you broke my heart this morning, you would show us that it is not you that's not dependable in our lives. It is us that's not dependable. We are not dependable in our relationship with you. And I pray that you would break us, and I pray that you would change our hearts. Do we know what it means to believe you are enough? To believe you are enough. What does that take? Show us, God, what that takes to believe that you are enough so that we can taste and see just how good you are. Work in our lives individually, work in our families, work in our church. Work this weekend at family camp. Work in our hearts this week. As we consider these oh so important things, so much more important than so much we concern ourselves with regularly. Because these are the things that satisfy us. You are what satisfies us. Teach us how to drink of that. Drink of you. Teach us how to breathe you. Your breath in our lungs. We don't praise you enough. No wonder your breath is in our lungs. We don't believe you're enough. No wonder we don't feel sustained. Teach us, God. I believe, help my unbelief. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.